Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Our Podcast Could Be Your Life. I am Caroline.
My name is Jeff.
And today, finally, we are finished with our Swimming in the Mainstream is Such a Lame Dream month and going back to our bread and butter.
I could have kept going.
We'll do it again.
Fucking give me Pearl Jam.
We'll do it again.
Give me, who else?
Bush.
Bush.
Yeah. Candlebox.
Candlebox.
Blind Melon.
Oh, man.
All those fans.
And now we're really getting to the dregs.
Yeah, we'll do it again. We'll do it again one day.
All right.
Today, we are talking about one of the best bands ever.
Sure.
The Cows from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yes, Midwestern heroes.
Heroes of all of humankind.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
they're my heroes.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Is that?
And I'm not from the Midwest.
They're heroes to us.
Yeah.
Because they're a really good band.
They're amazing.
So why are Cows amazing, Caroline?
Because they're just so good. Like, how do you play guitar like that?
I do not know.
Like, y'all, how do you do that? Tell me.
we need someone to tell us. Write us, please.
Yeah.
And let us know.
I want to do that. The songs are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The musicianship is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody plays guitar like that. Nobody plays bass like that. Nobody plays drums like that. It's great.
Yeah.
They're definitely the best band on the Amphetamine Reptile roster of bands.
I would probably concur with that.
Yeah.
They don't have a ton of competition, I don't think.
I do really like the God Bullies.
Yeah. God Bullies are okay. You know, and I really haven't really delved into the AmRep catalog, because, like, you know, I've listened to a little bit of, like, Killdozer and Hammerhead and those bands. And,
right.
And I don't know, like, I thought they were okay, but they didn't really rise above that kind of, like, 90s noise rock kind of feel. Like, this is all just subpar Jesus Lizard to me.
I mean,
whereas Cows, like, are something very special,
very, very special
and different from what else was going on.
Yeah. I like a lot of that stuff. I really need to revisit Halo of Flies, because I have Music for Insect Minds. I haven't listened to it in about 5 years. But at the time, I wasn't that into it.
Yeah.
Like, when I first heard it. But I do think I should revisit them and see what they're about. But Cows are really incredible.
Yeah, they definitely stand out from that whole scene, I think.
Yeah, they do.
I guess I would have to pin it on the musicianship. Like, the way that they played was so strange and unique. And, I don't know, they were just really good.
Yep.
They also wrote just better songs, I think, than a lot of the other AmRep bands did.
Yeah, like, y'all, who writes a song where the bass line of the song is just detuning the E string over and over? The Cows do.
And not only who does that, but who makes that song totally fucking rule.
That song is amazing.
The song in question we are talking about is Chow.
Yeah.
Which is on their album Daddy Has a Tail.
Yeah, their second album. We're going to skip over their first one.
Although, I have to say, their first album, Taint Pluribus Taint Unum, it's really good. I mean,
it's insane, this guy's taint.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah, their first album is really good, and we're kind of just sort of brushing over it for the sake of time. But yeah. I really think it's just as good as the other. I kind of think of the first three albums as being separate from the rest of them, I guess.
A little bit, yeah. I do like the first album. It's got a song called Mother, I Love That Bitch, which oh, I yeah. love that song.
That's a good song.
One day I will sing it for my mother for her birthday,
because
she would like that. But I do like the first album a lot. I do think that the second album is a step up. I love Daddy Has a Tail.
Daddy Has a Tail is incredible. This one and Effete and Impudent Snobs, I think, are probably my favorite Cows records.
Yeah.
You know, I like the later stuff too, but this early stuff is just really noisy, like really, really noisy in a way that the later stuff is more polished, I guess you could say.
I mean,
well, we're talking, we're speaking comparatively here, obviously.
Yeah,
but I mean, there's a clear break, I think, between like Daddy Has a Tail and Cunning Stunts.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which I don't know, like this stuff, this early stuff is just choked with noise and feedback, you know, like it's like pouring out of the edges.
Yes. A song like Camouflage Monkey.
Oh yeah,
I love that song so much,
which is essentially like a fairly straightforward punk rock song, but again, just like caked in this noise, this filthy,
like
grimy noise that just it's magnificent.
Yeah, it's just the way that they play it. Like, they can't do a standard punk rock song or a standard blues song,
mm-hmm.
whatever, because they just play so bizarrely.
Let me ask you, where did you first hear The Cows?
I think, like a lot of people, I first heard of The Cows through Mark Prindle.
Mr. Mark Prindle.
Yeah, not a friend of the show, but man, he could be someday.
I consider him a friend of the podcast.
I'll get him. But yeah, I read his reviews. Then, like senior year of high school, I got a Sexy Pea Story, and it like just wrecked me. I thought it was incredible.
So that was your first Cows album?
Yep.
Okay.
And then I got all the other ones.
I also got into Cows through Mark Prindle. I suspected that you did too, which is why I asked. 'Cause they are one of his favorite bands of all time. He really loves the fucking Cows.
Yeah, and I think he really gave them an audience that they wouldn't have nowadays.
That's probably true. I mean, it's I don't really see a whole lot of they're not a band that gets talked about a lot.
No,
I find
kind of except by
Mark Prindle fans.
Yeah, and fans of him.
Right. I mean, this is I pretty much have Mark Prindle to thank for introducing me to the Cows. It's possible I might have stumbled onto them later, like through like the noise rock charts on RYM or something. But
yeah, they're not even on there, Barrow.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, Cunning Stunts and Sexy Pea Story are both, like, in the top 50, I think.
Oh.
For noise rock, yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Where
finally
they belong.
That dumb place did something right.
And they're also a band that you hear a lot about how good their live show was.
Yeah.
And a lot of noise rock bands are kind of like that. Like, they kind of made a reputation on their live show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel sad that I've missed out on that. But what are you going to do?
Yep. There's some video out there.
Yeah. But hardly a substitute for being there.
I mean, I know. For, like, to come, like, go down and see the cast, and, like, Shannon Sulver comes out, and he's got, like, a blow-up sex doll, like, tied to his body, and shit like that.
Right. And, maybe let's talk a bit about, the members of the Cows.
Okay. Got Shannon Selberg on vocals.
Got Shannon Selberg, great front man.
Oh, yeah.
Has this excellent growly voice to him.
Later went on to form Heroin Cheeks.
Heroin Cheeks, also a good band.
Yeah, I've only heard their first album, but
yeah,
I like it.
Not one that I've given too much listening to, but a good band, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon Selberg, I don't know, he's just like the kind of guy that was born to be a frontman of a noise rock band.
Yeah, because he has such like a redneck voice
mm-hmm.
that fits perfectly with this music that's just like dirty and grimy and disgusting and
yeah.
like just about, it just feels like dudes that work in shitty jobs like getting all of their aggression out.
Sure.
To me.
And the rednecky part also, you know, because there is a bit of a hint of sort of southern music in the Cows, I think.
Yes,
like,
definitely.
Like bluesy and country-ish at times.
Yeah, maybe that's why like we connect to it
so
much, because we are a southern podcast.
Hell yeah. Representing North Carolina.
That's right. Kevin Root Manis, later of the Melvins, on bass.
Very briefly of the Melvins.
Yeah. Well, he was there for quite a while.
For like 5 years.
For the Melvins.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I guess.
Excellent bass player.
Yes.
Pioneer of the slide bass. Yes,
famously plays sliding all up and down the neck.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, and also he has that song where he just thwacks at the string and tunes the knob up and down to get the effect.
And it's the best.
Which is a great song.
Thor Eisentrager on guitar.
Fucking maniacal guitar player.
Who's this guy? Hey, who's this guy?
Who is this guy?
He doesn't play music anymore, which is very sad.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the time, he's not really playing recognizable notes. Like,
he's
just kind of shredding, like, making horrible noise.
I know.
Which I really like. One of the interviews, I can't remember who said it, but one of the Cows interviews on Mark Prindle's page, they talked about how Thor had his own, like, notation.
Yes.
That he wrote down his riffs in. Like,
yes, I think that was the Shannon Solberg interview.
And, like, none of them, knew what it was.
But it was amazing because that sounds like the kind of thing that can't be replicated.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, he had this just really unique and very controlled way of playing guitar.
Yeah, and it sounds random, kind of, when he's playing, you know?
Yeah.
Despite it being controlled.
And in the Kevin Root Manis interview, before things got a little racist, that interview broke my heart.
Oh.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? He talked about how, like, Thor was really trying to play, like, he was really inspired by, like, the Rolling Stones and Muddy Waters and, like, kind of blues stuff, and was sort of trying to play that, but just stumbled on something completely different.
It is funny to think that, like, Thor was playing what he considered to be blues.
I know.
Because just, that is not any blues I have ever heard in my life.
Yeah, like, for real, like, who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
Who's this guy? I don't know. Kind of a revolving door of drummers.
Yeah, yeah. They've had several drummers over the course of their career.
They had Sanders Manis, Kevin's brother, on the first album. A fella named Tony Alvieri, Norm Rogers, some other guys.
I guess Norm Rogers played for most of what you might call the classic era.
Yes.
Of Cow's music.
I mean, I kind of consider it all the classic era, except maybe the last album, maybe.
Really? Well,
I just really love them.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah, the Cows, they were a remarkably consistent band also. I wouldn't say any of them are, their albums are bad. You know, some of them are maybe less impressive than others, but you really can't go wrong as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing, like, being as prolific as they were. I mean, they released 9 albums in 11 years.
Yep.
And all of them were good.
That's like, a pretty good. That's a damn good discography.
It is a good discography.
That's something you can look back and be really proud of.
Be real proud of. And man, I wonder what Thor is doing these days that he can't pick up his guitar again, man.
He is a security director at a museum.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, fuck that. Be in the Cows again.
Yeah, bro. What are you doing?
What are you doing? This is better than being in the Cows? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, the money is probably better.
Maybe not anymore, man. I mean,
I don't know.
I guess the Cows still don't really have that big a fan base, but...
No, I don't think they do.
I mean, I think in, like, today's musical climate, though, even sort of, like, half-remembered indie bands from, like, the early 90s can reconvene and make some decent money. Like, it's kind of how it seems. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Yeah?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. The Cows are going to reunite without Thor, like, this summer for a show, which they've done, like, once or twice before, but they've not really done a tour, and I think that's because, like, their audience would be, like, us.
And a lot of, like, sweaty dudes in their 40s.
And just, like, scattered people, kind of like us.
It is hard to imagine a Cows reunion without Thor, though.
I know, I would see them. Come down to North Carolina, I'd see you.
Yeah,
I'd let you stay in my house.
Sure.
Whatever, dude. You're the Cows, who am I?
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it would not be the same without Thor. I forget who they have doing guitar for them. I think it's a dude from Hammerhead.
Okay.
Something.
They're keeping it in the family.
Yeah, it's somebody from the AMRAP stable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Thor.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Like, I guess I would still see them also, but it's hard to feel like you're getting the authentic Cows without them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
yeah, he left the band because he got tired of touring, and I guess he probably still plays guitar, he probably just doesn't like touring and that kind of thing. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a loss to me, but...
Right.
Who am I?
Yeah, it's kind of sad, like, I read an interview with Yo Latengo one time. And they were like, so, now that you've been, like, touring for over 20 years now, like, do you still like touring? And Ira Kaplan was like, it is an absolute fucking brutal slog. And I pretend to have fun on stage every night.
Oh, no. Like,
that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
That is so sad.
Like, oh, man, I almost feel, like, bad going to see them.
Well, I mean, I think... Like, they do it to have, like, make a living.
Well, right, but...
But, yeah, that is terrible.
I don't know, maybe he was just having a bad day or something.
He seems like somebody that can be a little volatile sometimes.
Yeah, but, I don't know, like... Like, when you're not, like, in a band, it's sort of easy to think of touring as being, like, this fun thing.
Yeah, because, like, I've never done it.
Right. But
probably never gonna do it.
It probably is brutal, man.
Like, oh, yeah, it sounds like it. I don't think I would like it.
Yeah. I don't know.
But
we were talking about Daddy Has a Tail.
Yes. You should listen to this album.
you really should.
You guys.
It's fantastic.
You know a song I love on this album?
All of them?
Well, yeah, all of them. But I miss her beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cows are a very boozy band.
Oh, sure. This is definitely drinking music.
Oh, yeah.
Noise Rock in general was kind of drinking music, I think. Or at least this, like, really, this really, like, sort of swaggering macho kind of noise rock.
Yeah, this kind of noise rock is definitely drinking music. I would say, like, something like Skullflower.
Right, right.
That's, like, mushrooms.
That's tripping music.
Yeah, ketamine, I don't know.
But yeah, basically this whole album rules. We talked about Chow already.
Yeah, because Chow is, like, the song.
Yeah, it's one of their signature songs, I think, also. Yeah,
that's like the song that got them signed to AMRAP.
Yeah, yeah. Because they didn't like Taint Pluribus, Taint Unum.
Yeah.
And but the Chow single convinced them, I guess.
The Chow single is great.
It really is.
And the album version is also great.
It really is. I also really like Shaking. That's such a fantastic way to open the album.
Yeah, it's like a weird cover of Shake It All Over.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is.
That's funny.
That's like about
letting your girlfriend fuck you in the ass.
Yeah. Which is cool. I like that.
Sure. I really like the snare sound on that track.
Yeah.
Like, it just really, like, cracks really loud. As soon as those drums kick in, you're just, like, fist pumping.
Oh, yeah.
It's good shit.
By the Throat. By the Throat is probably my second favorite song.
Okay. So these little short ditties in the middle here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the opening line is, "He was born a fuck up. Just like me."
Part My Conk is awesome. That's another, like, oh, God. That's just, like, a noisecape, if you will.
Yeah.
If I may be dumb for a second.
Yeah.
Just so much, like, scraping, grinding sound on that track. On this whole album, man. Like, it's noisy.
But that one's really long.
Yeah.
And so it's like
you're really getting really dragged through the mud.
Yeah. Bum in the Alley.
Bum in the Alley, sure.
It's kind of like has this like staggering kind of rhythm.
Yeah, that's a drunk song.
Oh, yeah. Well, with there's a bum in the alley looking for some wine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. The lyrics are a little dumb, but to me, that's just all part of it.
Right.
The lyrics are very good. Like, the lyrics are inconsistent in Cow's history, I guess. But that's all part of it.
That's true. I think Shannon Selberg has a kind of when he really wants to, like, the Cows are kind of a goofy band. Like, I think a lot of their lyrics are just meant to be, like, kind of dumb and silly and funny. And,
which,
like,
is what I love about them.
Yeah, which is cool. But I think he also, maybe more so on the later albums, he does kind of have this sort of sad poignancy into his lyrics.
Absolutely. Like, Cabin Man is one of my favorite songs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Lyrically. That's a good example. But a lot of lyrics about sort of losers, I guess you could say. Like, you know, just sort of sad individuals and their tragic lives.
Should I relate to? Because I'm a loser.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're not a loser. You're punk rock.
Tell that to my family.
I will. I'll say, look, Mrs. B. Caroline ain't a loser. She's punk rock.
Yeah, that's why I will never move out.
I wouldn't expect squares like you to understand.
Yep.
And then Sticky and Sweet I like a lot at the end.
Yeah, that's a cute song.
Yeah, it's funny. But, you know, I kind of like it alternates between this sort of fuzzy pop section and then, like, the more, like, grooving punk section.
Yeah.
That it, like, goes back and forth between. I like that. Yeah, I guess that's it that I have to say about this album. Just it rules. All the songs are good. Like, the whole thing is good. The whole thing is, like, coded and delicious feedback if you're into that kind of thing.
Yep.
Like, it is just filthy, noisy music for filthy, noisy people.
It's a short album, so it try is. It. What are you going to lose?
Give it a go.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything.
Yeah, come on. If you listen to this podcast...
You're listening to this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
Listen to Daddy is a Tale instead.
Yeah. Well, do both.
Turn this shit off.
No, do both. Do that after you listen to this podcast.
All right. Finish listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Then...
Finish listening to us dumb fucks talk about the cows. And then listen to the cows.
Dumb fucks. I think we're pretty smart.
Thank you. My dad thinks I'm smart. He gets really upset when I say that I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he thinks I'm really smart.
Well, you're not stupid.
I kind of am stupid.
Well, maybe in certain ways, but
yeah.
Everyone's stupid in certain ways, right?
Or, yeah, I can't operate a forklift.
Right. That takes a kind of intelligence.
Yeah.
That I don't possess.
Yeah, you have to learn how to do that. Somebody has to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always say. If somebody didn't tell me, how would I know? That's what I say whenever I do something wrong.
You don't come out the womb.
As I often do.
You don't come out the womb knowing everything.
Yeah, I didn't come out the womb knowing about the cows. I had to learn.
Right. Mark Prindle had to teach me.
Yeah.
let's talk about Effete and Impudent Snobs.
Yes. This album, also great.
Oh, it's so good. This is probably my favorite Cows album, just, like, looking at this track list, man.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn. First of all, I want to give a special mention of Whitey and the Woodpile, which
is my God.
One of the most insane things ever recorded, I'm pretty sure.
There's a Whitey and the Woodpile. Oh, my God.
Like, it's so... Because the main riff of the song is this kind of, like... classic rock riff, almost this sort of boogie riff, and then like the chorus comes in and it's literally just like big smashing noises. Like, I don't even know what is being done to the instruments. It's not a melody of any kind. It's just like,
yeah, you know what? You know what doesn't exist on the internet?
What?
Cows guitar tabs.
There are no guitar tabs for cows online. At least I assume there aren't. I haven't looked. Have you?
I have looked. There are not.
There are none.
Because I just wanted to see. Yeah. Like, I just wanted to get an idea.
Yeah, like
what is this dude doing?
I truly do not know, like, what is happening on a lot of these songs. Like, I don't know how he is playing his guitar to make these sounds a lot of the time.
Yeah, like, I can imagine, but it's like, I don't know. Well,
it sounds like he's shredding a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like he's just kind of, like, putting his finger, like, high on the fretboard and just, like, wailing on it, basically. But...
Yeah. And most of the time, I do not have kind words to say about shredding. Shredding is a fucking party trick.
Right.
You guys. Well, Emily Malmsteen, Eddie Van Halen, whoever the fuck, they all suck. They're all doing party tricks. You are being fooled.
Shredding is a party trick.
But Thor Eisenträger is the real deal.
Well, shredding, he's using it for a different purpose, which is to kind of create this sort of texture.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Eddie Van Halen is just a douchebag.
Look at my big dick! I'm playing the guitar really fast. Suck my dick. I'm playing the guitar really fast. Dude.
That's what Eddie...
Fuck do I care? I can learn how to do that. I'm not going to, but I could.
That's what Eddie Van Halen says.
Yeah. Van Halen are fucking stupid, terrible music for squares and assholes.
Dude, Ain't Talking About Love is a jam.
No, it's not.
Dude.
Yeah.
Ain't Talking About Love. It's a jam.
I do want to read that David Lee Roth autobiography that's like 600 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, like.
Did that just come out?
No, that's been out for a long time. Crazy from the Heat by David Lee Roth.
All right.
And it got whittled down from like 1,200 pages. Yeah, and like this dude, he's just this, he seems like somebody that is like a bizarre person.
Yeah.
Like, just true. Like he, stuff about David Lee Roth reminds me of like stuff that my dad would tell me about his father who had bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
Like when he was like in a manic phase. And like
what stuff about David Lee Roth?
I don't know. David Lee Roth just seems like somebody that's... I don't think David Lee Roth has bipolar disorder, but, like, I think David Lee Roth is, like, the definition of manic. Like, just, like, delusions of grandeur and, like, always, like, completely up and up and up all the time. Like, he's, like, on crank and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know. What am I... Yeah. Why am I talking about David Lee Roth?
Are you, like... Are you sort of fascinated by, like, rock star debauchery?
Yes.
Like you are?
Yes, I am.
Have you read Motley Crue's?
No, I need to read that one, too. The only rock biographies I've read are one... Like, I've read the Yes biography.
What sort of shit did they get up to?
Like, nothing. Just like, we have to put 50 more guitar tracks on it. This is my wife. We met looking for crystals in a glen. Shit like that.
So they weren't like big groupie people or anything like that?
Have you seen those people? No.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just expect, like, if you're a big, huge rock star, like, touring the world, you're going to bang some groupies at some point.
Well, I mean, maybe they did, but it didn't come up in that book.
Fair enough.
I read the Nirvana one, Come As You Are.
Oh, yeah.
I read that one. That was good.
Is that Michael Azarod?
Yes, and yeah. I read, of course, Our Band Could Be Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a couple of others here or there, but I haven't read, like, the big ones. I haven't read the Led Zeppelin one, which I've been meaning to read for years.
Isn't there a story in that where, like, Jimmy Page, like, fucked some woman with a shark or something?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
Because he's Jimmy Page and he hates women. Jimmy Page should be in jail.
Well, lots of people hate women, but they don't
like
fuck
Jimmy
them
Page,
with sharks.
No, like Jimmy Page should be in jail. Like,
well,
Jimmy
yeah,
Page is a pedophile.
He's a pedophile.
Yeah, he should be in jail.
He's gross.
Yeah. But yeah, I am fascinated by rock star debauchery and like just all that shit. Like, I'll read 50 articles about KISS without even blinking. I don't give a fuck.
There's something about KISS that is just, like, inherently hilarious to me. Like,
yeah.
In spite of, like, I don't like their music, and, like, I think Gene Simmons is one of the worst human beings to have ever lived, basically.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, them in particular, I find really interesting as far as, like, because rarely does a band with so little talent, like, do so much shit.
Yeah,
with their
it's
life.
Really interesting, like, just how bad they are.
KISS is a terrible band.
They're awful. I love it. And they're not, like, we've talked about this before, that, like, the American underground,
mm-hmm.
like, bands, like, that the Cows are a part of that. One of the criticisms labeled against a lot of that music is not how to play their instruments. They do. Mm-hmm. They came up with a completely different way of doing it by learning as they went.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. Like, very. Basically, all the bands that we've talked about, I wouldn't say any of them are inept musicians.
At all, no.
I mean, like someone like Kurt Cobain, I mean, his guitar playing wasn't necessarily flashy, but, like, he did, like, to be able to sing and play guitar, like, as rhythmically as he did is really tough, I think. So I give him credit for that. And
you're giving credit to a lot of people that can just sing and play at the same time. Because, like, I can't do that, so it seems, like, really impressive to me. But at the same time, like, a lot of people know how to do that. The dudes from KISS can do that.
Yeah, sure.
And I can't.
Well.
I'm sure I'll learn someday, maybe.
All right, let's talk about the album again.
Yes, yes. Nancy Boy, Cocaine Whore Blues.
Oh, my God.
Love that song.
That is... God, that's like industrial music, practically. It's so fucking, like, abrasive and...
Yeah.
That is, like, the filthiest blues I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, that kind of, You say it's almost like industrial. That kind of, foreshadows Heroin Cheeks a little bit.
Yeah, sure. You could say so. Although, yeah. I still think, there's still... I mean, it is a blues song.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It very much has that, sound to it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's a great song title for a noise rock band, I think.
Yeah, that's like what you like. That's like what you want.
That's what I want from my noise rock bands.
Rock band, yeah.
Songs with names like Nancy Boy, Cocaine Whore Blues.
Yeah.
that's a really great song. Preyed On is fantastic. I love the way the bass hits in that song. It's just this constant, like, thudding of the bass. Really heavy sounding. And a really cool vocal from Shannon Selberg also. Keeping it real in that lower register. You know, that Preyed On, Preyed On, Preyed On. That song rules.
Big Mickey,
sure.
Big Mickey.
See, this stuff is just so much fun, man.
I know. It's like Cows are a band that I put on and I feel great.
Yeah, this shit makes me feel alive, man.
I know. Like, and I've had some trouble with feeling alive sometimes. Sure. I put on the Cows. I am like. So inhabiting myself and just completely alive and completely happy to be alive, because why wouldn't I be? Because there's music like this going on. Of course I'm happy to be alive.
And I don't think the Cows were very well received critically, like, in their day.
No, they were not.
It's sort of the impression that I've gotten. Like, people thought they were sort of a dumb, like, novelty band, kind of.
Yeah, you know what? People didn't know it was good for them.
They really didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck, y'all?
Man, why don't we have bands like the Cows these days?
I don't know a lot about, like, the kind of noise rock that's coming out these days. Like, is any of it good?
Like, I've heard a little bit, I guess. I mean, Lightning Bolt is still going strong. Band Daughters released an album a couple years ago that was pretty cool. There is, like, a small, like, sort of post-punk scene going on.
That's like Viet Cong and stuff?
Yeah, like Viet Cong and Women and Ice Age and Ought.
Yeah, Ice Age I've heard a little bit.
Ice Age are pretty cool.
Yeah, they're okay.
But, and Viet Cong is good too, but...
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no real, like, real noisy shit. Like, a lot of the shit that gets, you know, like pitchforky kind of bands that break through. Like White Lung, have you heard them?
I have heard of them. I haven't listened to them. Because I'm just, like, listening to Cowards all the time. I don't keep up, and I feel bad about it, because I don't want to be one of those, like, oh, music died in 1995, y'all. Like, I don't think that at all. It's just, right.
I don't know, like, a lot of what is sold to me as noise rock from the last 5 years, like, is not that impressive to me. Like,
yeah.
It's not especially noisy or, like, interesting sound. Like, The Men and, like, Population 1280 or whatever the fuck that band was called. Just not real impressive. Like,
yeah.
Kind of, I don't know.
Like, and I've heard some stuff, like, there's this French band called, like, Aluk Totolo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know them.
And I like them, but that's, like, more of, like, the shamanistic, like, ritual type.
Right, right. It's that, like heavy...
black metal influence kind of noise rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. There's a time and a place for that. But, yeah, there really is nothing like the Cows before or since, really.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, but, like... I mean, there are bands that existed around the same time, like God Bullies and, like, Tar and stuff like that, where I'm like, yeah, that's all part of the same, like, stable of people that are influenced by each other and shit, but...
I guess, I don't know if it was quite as recent, but, like, Drunk Driver is pretty good. Have you listened to them? And Piss Jeans also.
Yeah, I've heard them a little bit.
Yeah, and they're, like, good, but it just doesn't quite have that, like, classic feel that this shit does, I guess.
And I can't think of any band that calls the Cows an influence.
Yeah, well,
I mean... Melvins, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they had a cow in them.
And Buzzo has a... spoken about how much he loves the Cows.
Yeah, he said he offered to be their guitarist when Thor left because he loved them so much.
Sure.
And then they were like, nah, dude.
That's sad.
And then he scooped up that Kevin Rutmanis.
But yeah, like, they're still an obscure band. I mean, like you said, I mean, I think, like, Mark Prindle fans and, like, noise rock enthusiasts know about them, but...
Yeah, and that's, like, noise rock enthusiasts that are, like, deep in it.
Yeah.
But... Like, I'm pretty deep in it. I'm a noise rock lifer. Like, it's just my music.
It is probably my favorite genre of music.
Yeah, like, some people are, like, really into hardcore. Some people are really into, like... krautrock and like stuff that's like their music. This is my music.
Yeah, like noise rock and post-punk are like kind of the things I'm most obsessed with, I guess, musically.
Right. I went through a period where I was very like a really long period where I would say harsh noise was my music. Now, not as much. Like, I still love the stuff that I loved before, but I'm not that interested in, like, finding new shit.
Right.
Because, like, oh, God, you have to wade through so much garbage.
Yeah.
So much just, like, I'm a dude with a bunch of pedals.
Well, like, all that stuff's improvised.
Dude. Yeah, Jeff and I went through a thing where he tried to tell me, like, he tried to tell me and then our friend Andrew, who's also very into noise, that, like, noise is improvised, and we were like, hold on. And I'm we were talking about how, like, Merzbow is too composed.
Look, if Merzbow isn't improvised, it may as well be, because it's fucking structureless nonsense.
Well,
that I...
It's not, though. Well, it's really not, though.
But, yeah, I never quite went down that rabbit hole, the harsh noise rabbit hole. Oh,
I think
dude.
You might like something like Hijo Kaidan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not the... It's not, like, the sound of it that bothers me so much as that, like, just that, like, formlessness. They're always, like, 75-minute long and albums and shit, like...
Yeah, that is
true. I don't have time for this, man.
That is true. I have a lot of respect for noise artists that keep it short and sweet.
Oh, dude, you know who's a really great noise rock band that
Who?
Is fairly recent?
Who?
Sightings.
Oh, I don't know them.
They are so good.
Okay. Shout out, friend of the show, Sightings.
Shout out to Sightings. Yeah, around, like, their early records are really, like, cacophonous kind of shit. And then they sort of turned into this, like, abstract, like, artsy kind of noise rockish stuff that's cool, too. But
you know what I really like about the Cows? They're not artsy.
They're not intellectual.
Right, yeah, I think that's what I mean. Like, I mean...
I would say, well, yeah, yeah, okay. I mean, I get what you're saying, but,
Like, they always keep... they've always kept to this kind of...
There's a low brownness to them.
Yeah, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, I just
Hick
love...
Hick music.
Yeah, I just love the fact... It's like Hicks doing... this kind of music.
Yeah.
You know, they could have just been some dumb fuck cover band doing Muddy Water songs. And they weren't. And Muddy Waters is good. Like, don't get me wrong. Muddy Waters is great. But Muddy Waters is great. Some white dude in a bar doing a Muddy Waters song is an embarrassment.
You want to talk about Pistica?
Yes.
All right.
Hitting the Wall.
Hitting the Wall.
We have to talk about Hitting the Wall because that is a song that gets me pumped like no other song.
I tend to think
history.
Of it as being like the signature Cows song, Hitting the Wall.
Yeah.
Like that's a good example of what the Cows sound like, I think.
This was released the very month that I was born.
Oh, that's nice.
March 91. While I was struggling, because I was a difficult baby.
No.
Yeah, I had a lot of issues.
Did you almost die?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I didn't die. So it all turned out fine.
Yeah, you hung in
but
there.
But yes, I did almost die. So while I was almost dying... this was going on. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I really love I'm Missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another kind of low register. Not ethereal, but it's not as swaggering.
Mm-hmm.
It feels more like introspective.
Mm-hmm.
In a way.
Can we talk about Hitting the Wall some more?
Yeah. Guys.
It's a really good song, and I feel like it's a total, like, slacker anthem, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's very much that way, lyrically. It's one of those songs that just makes me feel like they get me.
Yes! Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's... I just love the bass line on it. The way it starts, like, it just sort of lurches into motion immediately.
Yeah.
And hits this whirlwind of guitar.
Yeah, that guitar, like...
Yeah.
This song really, like, should be in a movie of some kind.
What movie?
A television movie detailing our rise to power in the podcasting world.
I was thinking maybe The Matrix Revolutions. It would have fit right in.
Is that what that movie's called?
I think. I saw it.
Matrix.
Revolutions.
Revolution? Is it Revelations?
Revolutions.
Well, I...
Because they lead a revolution against the incoming robot.
You are
army.
Correct. It is. I was thinking of course, The Matrix Reloaded.
Have you seen the Matrix movies?
I've seen the first movie.
You never saw the second one?
The first movie.
Well,
I hear that they're terrible, so I might watch them.
if you want to watch a bad movie,
sure.
Those are definitely good ones in that category.
Yeah.
I don't think I have ever felt so crushing a disappointment as I did when I saw The Matrix Reloaded.
Were you really into the first one?
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, I was fucking, I don't know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
When The Matrix Reloaded came out, so I was like prime age for that shit. And
yeah, I wasn't that into it. Like I saw the first one when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but like
you never got obsessed with it.
Nah, I was a little dumber and I was like into Star Wars a lot.
Right. You couldn't handle the intellectual overload that is The Matrix.
Yeah, so, that's
it's
really
a movie for us smart people.
It's really saying something like about society.
About like reality, man.
Yeah, like no, but like real, like what is reality? Like for real,
it's a matrix.
Yeah,
reality is just a matrix.
That is amazing. Like there are people who are like, I do. Like I really think we're in the matrix. It's like why. Why do you think that?
Do people say that?
Yeah, I hear people say that all the time.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that. I think I would burst out laughing if anyone said that to me. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, people say that like they're really saying something too. They're like, dude, I really think that like in the Matrix right now. And I am like, why do you think that? What does that mean? Like you think that like we're like all in these like bathtubs hooked up to shit, and we think that, and we're like in a computer program.
That's exactly what they think.
Like why? Like who would do that? I don't remember. Like I don't remember the Matrix. Like why did they do that?
Why did they hook people up? To the
thing?
That
really seems like
because they were harvesting people for energy,
for
like
what?
For them because they're robots. They need like the electricity, so they enslaved.
Are you shitting me?
No, that's the real. That's the plot of the Matrix.
Oh my god!
The robots enslave humanity and like keep their brains busy with this whole Matrix thing. So that
why
they
would they bother to do that?
Because it's easier, I guess, than like. Just forcing someone
how
to sit
still. How
is that
easier than just doing it?
Well, because you got to keep them alive. I mean, you got to keep their blood pumping. You got to keep their brain moving. I mean, to harvest
you know
their energy.
What? You know what that reminds me of? Is there's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart doesn't know where Santa's little helper is, and he's like really scared, and he comes up with this fantasy that there's this like ocean steamship and they're powering the ship by like putting dogs in the boilers.
Oh.
It's like pile on more dogs, would you?
That's awful.
It's the most absurd thing though. One thing I want to talk about with the cows is Shannon Solberg often plays a bugle.
Oh yeah. He sure does.
Is very interesting and adds an interesting texture.
Yeah, adds a little something.
A little something.
I'm trying to think, when did he first... Did he first use it on Pistica? I'm trying to remember if he uses it on, like, the first few albums.
Yeah, he does.
He does? Okay. He does. I guess that's don't remember.
Yeah. It takes more of a role on, like, these middle albums.
Yeah.
I think. But it's definitely on Pistica.
Yeah. I guess I kind of see Pistica as being, like, a bit of a transitional album.
Yeah, it is.
Because, like I said, I sort of separate those first three albums, which I think are a lot more, like, the guitar... I guess it's mostly the guitar playing. It seems like it's a lot more abstract on those first few albums than, like...
It is.
Whereas there's a lot more of what you could recognizably call a riff on later Cow's albums.
I mean, they're pretty weird riffs.
And yeah, sure, but like they sound like music more than the first three albums do.
Yeah.
Also, just the production values are taken up a notch.
Yeah, the production goes up.
Like, this is definitely a much cleaner sounding album than the first three. And I don't know, like...
it's their shortest album.
It is their shortest album, a mere 26 minutes, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I guess Pistica doesn't really stand out for me. Like, I think it's another solid Cow's album, but just not one I would really...
For me, it's like Hitting the Wall and Missing are like the two highlights for me. Which
I like John Henry a lot, too.
Huh?
I like John Henry a lot, also.
Yeah, John Henry is good.
Like, that's a good, like, atmospheric kind of track, I think, where they sort of kick up these little swirling clouds of sound that sound cool.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
I don't know.
My, like, description? You didn't like that?
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's not just you. It's just, like, talking about how music sounds, like, in an abstract sense, is very silly.
It is.
It is silly. It's not you. It's just...
Well, since I've made myself into a complete jag-off, why don't
you
we...
No, you didn't.
No.
No. It's okay.
But...
Can we move to Cunning Stunts?
But you ridiculed me. Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Cunning Stunts.
This is my favorite Cow's album.
I think it's a lot of people's favorite Cow's album.
I know I'm not special.
Well, I just... Well, allow me to drive home that point. No one gives a fuck, Caroline. Okay. Cunning Stunts is really fantastic.
It's amazing.
It was my first Cow's album.
Good.
So it definitely has a spot in my heart because of that.
It was my second.
I think it's a really good example of them at their peak as songwriters.
Yes.
I would say. These are definitely fleshed out, cohesive compositions.
Right.
Very good ones at that.
I really want to talk about the song Contamination.
Okay.
Because, like, that guitar riff.
That is a wacky riff, man. Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, the the riff in the verse.
Well,
where he like jerks up the neck a few times.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah, that too. But like, oh my god! Like, just the guitar throughout that whole song is amazing and so weird and so good.
Mm.
This album also begins the canceled trilogy of songs. There's Mr. Canceled, Mrs. Canceled, and then Tropic of Canceled.
Dude, I love Mr. Canceled. Like, that's it's almost a pop song by Cow standards. Like,
yeah,
it actually has like a recognizable vocal melody, which is not typical for them.
Yeah, which is a bit unusual.
It just has this really great bass part. Nice, like, bouncy bit. And, kinda,
they talk about getting high.
kind of tugs at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
A little bit, I would even say.
Why?
I don't know. Like, it's sort of a sad song.
It's kind of a wistful song, I think.
I fucked up, and that's why I'm Mr. Canceled.
Yeah. I relate to that.
I think on Cunning Stunts, there are, if you'll allow me briefly to say something slightly negative about the Cows.
Okay.
You could accuse them at points of having more attitude than substance. And I guess there are certain songs on here that aren't really that impressive musically, but they...
Name one.
Like, Mine is the example I'm thinking of.
That song owns. What are you talking about?
I mean, there's not a lot to it, though. Like, the riff isn't especially good. Like, It's very basic sounding, I think, and it's all attitude. It's not really that, good.
I mean, it's not my favorite song on the album, but I do like that song. I don't think any of the songs on this are bad.
What's your favorite song on the album?
Contamination.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough. Then I would say Mr. Canceled. I'd say like Everybody. I love that song.
Okay.
Yeah,
that has a really cool bass line.
Yeah.
Man, I've got a lot of favorite songs on this album. Like,
I know, it's just great.
The first four are fucking, like, that's just bang,
yeah,
bang, bang, bang.
Walks Alone.
Walks Alone is incredible.
It's so good. Like,
that's like,
Cunning Stunts was, let me tell my story.
Okay.
Of this album. This is an album that I heard... Like, I had a period of time where I didn't go to school because I had issues of a certain kind, and I was in the hospital for a little while, and so then I didn't get to go to school for a little bit while I was sorting my shit out. And once I was in school again, and I was at a local school where I commuted from home. I placed a lot of importance on what I would listen to on my commute because it was about 45 minutes. And Cunning Stunts was the album of, like, my first semester back at school.
Yeah.
And, like, a song like Walks Alone, that's like, yeah, that was me, because I didn't have any friends and didn't hang out with anybody, and I felt like, I kind of felt like God's lonely man or whatever. So, like, that. And, like, I kind of felt like a loser. Like, I really connected to the Cows a lot during that time, because I felt like a fucking loser and an asshole, but I still do. But also,
the cows
are just really good. Yeah, and also the Cows are just great. they're just like the band for me.
You know, Walks Alone might be like the fastest song that they ever did, you know? Like, it really like moves quite a clip.
Yeah, it's their Crackety Jones.
Their Crackety Jones. That's a good way of putting it. Really good cover of the Midnight Cowboy theme on
here. Yes, oh my god, yeah.
So good.
I haven't seen Midnight Cowboy.
I haven't either. I actually know the Midnight Cowboy theme because Faith No More covered it.
Oh my god!
On Angel Dust.
Yeah, I know it because of the cows.
Right. No, that's the thing is, like, I heard that album before I heard this one, and like when that came on, I was like, this is, where do I know this from? And
yeah.
Then, like, it's like, oh yeah, they did it on Angel Dust.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, Terrifique. I fucking love Terrifique.
The vocal performance on that song.
Oh, God. How does he do that?
I don't know. I need to learn how to scream. Mm.
And just like.
I really can't.
And just the hook, like, consists of just, like, the guitar and the bass just sliding up the neck.
Yeah. Like, that's my shit.
I love that. And then Ort,
album great.
Closer, is also album fantastic. Kind of a spooky song. Good way to take us out.
Yeah, I like when they do more like spooky atmospheric stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. And like Part My Conk or something.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that.
Yeah. And
yep.
So this is a banger. This album is a banger.
I think that you should listen to all their albums because the Cows are amazing and they're the best band and not enough people listen to them. If you can only listen to one, make it this one.
Yeah, this is probably the best place to start. I would definitely say that, but
I am
kind of partial to those early records. Like they just hit that spot for me.
Yeah, like Daddy Has a Tail is maybe my second favorite.
Yeah,
this is my favorite. This... But like, if you can only have one, this really should be the one.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you can hear them all. I hope that there's no like legislative body in place that says you can only listen to one Cows album because mm-hmm. that sounds like hell.
Hell on earth.
Hell on earth. Really, if there was a legislative body that said that you can only listen to one Cows album, then truly the revolution would happen.
Yeah, I'd be planting the bombs myself.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Sexy P Story?
Yeah, my first Scouts album.
Your first Scouts album, Sexy
yep.
P Story.
Sexy P Story.
Alright, you know, I don't know, like, listening...
This is maybe their most well-regarded...
You think?
Yeah.
I guess I've always thought Cunning Stunts is their most well-regarded, but...
This one feels a little more... I don't know. Well, it has a song like Mrs. Cancelled, which is a really beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
That song makes me cry sometimes.
Well.
Yeah. Everything makes me cry. I'm a huge fucking crybaby.
You know, I don't think it's too dissimilar from Cunning Stunts. I would say it's slightly less consistent than Cunning Stunts is, but...
It has a little less energy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's a little less punk, I guess. A little more...
Yeah, but, like, Blown?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, the opener.
That's a fucking phenomenal track. That would definitely go on my Cows mix CD.
Yeah. We should do stuff like that for the Facebook page.
Make a mix?
Yeah, like certain bands, like for stuff. I don't know. I'm a spitball in here. I'm just trying to get our podcast going.
You're just blue turtling.
Yes.
I don't know. Lots of good songs on here, though. I mean, Blown is great. Doing the Obvious sort of pounds for 3 minutes on one like nauseous, queasy riff.
Yeah, I love it.
Sexy P Story is fantastic. That starts out with this instrumental bit that it carries on for a few minutes before it goes into the main part, and the main part is just this great like sliding bass riff, and this so good. And I love Shannon's delivery on that track also, that like staccato shouting he does, like, let me tell you my sexy P story.
What is a sexy P story?
I assume it's a he peed on a lady.
Or vice versa. Did you ever see Hated? Vice versa? Yeah, a girl peed on him. You ever see Hated, the Gigi Allen documentary?
I think you asked me this on a previous episode.
Did I?
Maybe not. Maybe you've definitely asked me in life at some point.
Yeah, I think I asked you in life. Well, anyway, You should see it. It's great. People, if you are squeamish, definitely mute the podcast for a little bit. There is a scene.
There's a sexy pee story?
Well, whether it's sexy or not, there is a pee story. For his birthday, Gigi Allen wanted a girl to piss in his mouth. And his friend, who was having a party for him, obliged, got this girl, was like, do you want to piss in Gigi Allen's mouth? She was like, sure. Because, like, I don't know.
You don't pass up an opportunity like that.
I mean, I probably would, but I'm a square.
You wouldn't do it just for fun?
I would do it for money. I don't think I'd do it for fun. If they would pay me something, I would do that. But anyway, so chick's peeing in Gigi Allen's mouth, and he's loving it. And you see it happen. And then he starts barfing, and she's still peeing in his mouth. She pees forever. This girl was holding it in all day. Mm. It's weird. And she keeps going, and then he's still, like, loving it. It's so disgusting. Anyway.
That's a sexy pee story right there.
Yeah, so that is a Caroline Recommends for this episode. Hated, the Gigi Allen documentary, directed by Todd Phillips of Hangover fame.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You know what else he directed?
Road Trip?
Yes, but also the Fish documentary, Bittersweet Motel.
Eh, I don't care about that.
Well, I do. I've seen that, too.
Lashes.
39 Lashes, mm-hmm. A cover from Jesus Christ Superstar, which was a very formative influence on early Caroline.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that it was from Jesus Christ Superstar, or that Jesus Christ Superstar was a formative influence on me?
The former.
Yeah. Yeah, it's from Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's funny.
Jesus Christ Superstar is kind of great. Like, maybe it's the fact that I heard it a million times as a kid because my mother is Catholic and from the 70s. So basically, as a child, my image of Jesus Christ was the lead singer of Deep Purple.
That rules.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, 39 Lashes is amazing. Their version of it is amazing. I love it.
You know what song I like?
What?
Not because of the music so much, but just because the title, The Ouch Cube.
Yeah.
I like it because it reminds me of Hellraiser.
Reminds me of Hellraiser. I was just going to say that.
So that right there is an ouch cube that they got in Hellraiser.
Hellraiser is weird.
That is a weird movie. That is not.
I haven't seen any of the sequels.
That is not like other movies.
Yeah. I have not seen the sequels, but I have seen the first one. It's a weird movie.
It is a weird movie.
Might watch that. Watch the Gigi Allen documentary first, but then you can watch Hellraiser.
Is Shitbeard.
Shitbeard is great.
Shitbeard is great. That's a song that builds, you know. It has that atmosphere in the beginning. And really great, like, there's this bass sound that happens, mm-hmm. like, in the beginning. Do you know the one I'm talking about? Where it just goes like, meow!
Yeah!
That shit rules.
I like Ch.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like that song, however the fuck you would say that.
Ch.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a good song.
Where do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah.
I do wonder if Hellraiser was the inspiration for the name The Ouch Cube, though.
Probably.
It would seem.
Yeah.
Because what the hell else would an ouch cube refer to?
I don't know. Like, it just makes me think of the thing from Hellraiser. What was it called in Hellraiser?
Oh, did it have a name?
I don't know. I forget because I haven't seen it in a while.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm the world's biggest Hellraiser fan. I've just seen it.
Then why do you have that Hellraiser t-shirt that you wear literally every day?
I don't.
Explain that, Caroline.
I do not have a Hellraiser t-shirt. I do have some horror movie t-shirts. I have a Suspiria shirt.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and I have a Night of the Living Dead shirt. Nah. I wear those a lot.
Everyone's got a Night of the Living Dead shirt.
Yeah, I'm one of them. Everyone is required by law to own a Night of the Living Dead shirt, and I am just fulfilling my civic duty.
There you go. You are a patriot.
Mm-hmm. I am a patriot. I love American underground music.
Me too.
I am a patriot.
There was a thread on RYM a couple days ago. That mm-hmm. It's like, do you like British alternative music or American alternative music better?
It's like, bruh. Of course, I gotta go America. America gave us the cows. The cows could not be any other nationality but American.
That ain't a British
No
band.
Other people could make this kind of music.
I concur.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, art is like literally the only thing I'm patriotic about. Like,
yeah,
I do like get excited about like American music. Like,
yeah, we've had a conversation about this before.
Yeah,
we were talking about like The Simpsons. Yeah, like how The Simpsons is such a great American art form.
All right, like the Simpsons, Paul Thomas Anderson, and American underground music.
Yeah,
make me proud to be an American. That's it, though.
Where at least I know I'm free.
Those are the only things that make me proud to be an American.
Yeah.
But you know, it's something.
Yeah. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola's Pepsi. The shit. I
Pepsi's
love Coca-Cola.
Shit. I love Pepsi.
Pepsi's also...
I'm a Pepsi gal.
Okay. Mm. You know, they both have their place.
Sure. It's true. The other day, my dad asked me, we were going to McDonald's, he goes, does McDonald's have ice cream sodas? I was like, no. Because my dad is almost years old, so, you know.
Do only 80-year-olds drink ice cream sodas?
Yeah. No, but like an ice cream soda, do you know what that is? Because it's not like a root beer float. It's just,
oh,
it's
that's what I thought you meant.
No. An ice cream soda is, an ice cream soda is seltzer water mixed with chocolate syrup with ice cream on top.
Dear God.
I know, that sounds terrible, right? It
sounds like the worst thing.
I know, it does, but my dad wanted to know if McDonald's had them. I said, nobody has them. Yes, Mrs. Canceled.
Yep.
That's a beautiful song, man.
It is, you're right.
It's got, the bass sounds amazing. That's mm-hmm. like a very slidey, that's a perfect example of the slide bass.
Yeah. If you want to hear Kevin Ruttmanis slide up and down the neck of his bass.
Slide in the bass.
That's where to go.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Kevin.
Yeah.
He's a way to play bass the way that nobody else has ever or will ever play it.
Yeah. He's a... quite the rare talent.
Yeah, definitely a big influence on me as a musician.
Do you have a slide?
I did. I lost it. I had one that did not fit my fingers very well because they're made for like big men. I'm the opposite of that.
Right.
I need to get one that fits me better and then I'll try that again. But nobody can do it like he can.
True. Do you want to talk about Orphan's Tragedy?
Yes. Orphan's Tragedy is great. I actually I appreciate it. I didn't appreciate it for a while, and then listening to it again, I was like, man, this is really great.
Yeah, You know, this one and Horn are, I hadn't heard them before.
Yeah.
They were the only Cows albums that I hadn't heard before we started this episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's just that they still haven't made their way into my skull, but I tend to think of these two albums as being kind of a piece.
I sort of do too. I think Orphan's Tragedy is better, mm-hmm. but they are similar in sound.
Right. And they don't really, I don't know, like, again, maybe it's just that I haven't listened to them enough, but they don't really stand out all that much to me.
Mm.
Or, I don't know, I guess they kind of just sound like more of the same, but not quite as good.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of are. Like, I do like Orphan's Tragedy a lot. I think it's great. I would recommend spending some more time with it. But, it's Sexy Peace Story. Like, it's going in a direction that's way less unhinged.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it does sound calmer and less.
Yeah.
And they're always getting calmer, you know, like, ever since, Effete and Impudent Snobs. Like, there's just, like, a little less energy on each album, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I really love Cutting Stunts and Sexy Peace Story, so I want to think of it, like, in a more positive way, but I would definitely say, like, post...
Now, Cutting Stunts especially, I think, is fantastic, but...
Oh, yeah. But, on this album, I really like the song Pussy is a Monarchy. I would say that's probably my favorite song. I like Allergic to Myself a lot.
Yeah. Pickled Garbage Soup is good.
Yeah, Pickled Garbage Soup is really good. You know, and this, I would say, is their last, like, really, really good album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Horn is, I don't know, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really see it as being significantly less good than Orphan's Tragedy.
Yeah.
Like, I might even say it's better, but I actually really like The New Girl a lot.
I love The New Girl is my favorite song on both of these albums.
Yeah, think. Yeah. Like, that one really stuck out for me while I was listening to it.
Right.
And not a whole lot else on these albums really did, to be honest.
The New Girl is, like, a song... something about it is, like, kind of wistful, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It has nothing to do with the TV show.
Yeah.
It should have been the theme song to the TV show.
Well, they did miss it by about 15 years.
Well, no, but the TV show could have thrown the cows a bone.
Yeah, I guess it's true.
Come on. I think that all shows should have a theme song that is an already existing song that has the same title as the show.
I can't wait for my new television show, Nancy Boy Cocaine Whore Blues.
Yeah, my TV show, Mr. Cancel. That would not be a good thing to title a TV show.
That's just prefiguring your own death.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, The New Girl has this really, like, wistful melody and these kind of atmospheric guitars, again, used more for, like, pure sound than melody.
Yeah.
Which is what I like from the Cows, you know, just that sheer volume and, abrasiveness. And...
Yeah, it has a good vocal melody.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Which Cows, are not known for.
No.
I like, A Oven. I like that song.
Yeah.
Tropic of Cancelled is definitely the least good of the Cancelled trilogy of songs.
I just like that you're referring to it as the Cancelled trilogy.
Well, that's what it is!
I guess.
What else would you call it?
I don't know. I mean, they're three different songs.
Well, I know, but they all they're all tied together by this title.
You know, lots of Cow songs have the word "the" in them.
No,
I don't go calling them a trilogy.
Oh my god! Well, wouldn't you say that it is?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Wouldn't you say that it's a bit unusual to have the word canceled as a repeated thing?
I guess.
Yeah. I like the cover of this album because it has, like, somebody put a trumpet in their pants. That's kind of cool.
You are absolutely right.
Yeah, that's what you come to me for, astute observations like that.
And just the pun that is the album title, like that's a classic bit of cow's humor right there.
Yeah, I just got it.
You just got it.
Yeah, that's so stupid. I'm not good at getting puns.
It's not. I feel like this is like the eighth time I've explained a pun to you on the show.
Okay, I have owned this album for like 4 years, and I just got the pun.
Do you have it on CD?
No, I don't have it on CD. I just have it in my life.
Oh.
Yeah. This is the one of the only cow CDs that remains in print. The rest of them are extremely difficult to find.
It's unfair.
They gotta reissue these.
Yeah.
The fuck you doing?
I mean, I was just looking online, and a vinyl copy of Effete and Impudent Snobs is like, I don't know, they had one for like $25 on Discogs.
Yeah, I looked on Discogs plenty for cow stuff, and it's like, it's kind of rough going. That's probably the cheapest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's the only one I looked at. Is it more for like Cunning Stunts or whatever?
Yeah, Cunning Stunts, like a copy of Cunning Stunts, a copy of Sexy Peace Story, She'll Set You Back.
That sucks.
I know. They gotta reissue these. What are you doing?
Alright, you want to talk about Saurian Pig Minor?
Yeah, I like the first song. I really like the first song, and I don't really like the rest.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, this is kind of a weird album.
It is.
It definitely doesn't sound like the other Cows albums. Like, this is the odd man out in their discography.
Very much so.
Mr. Buzz Osborne,
friend of the show,
friend of the podcast, Buzz Osborne.
Yep.
He produced this record.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about Buzz Osborne, you know he's a weird dude.
Yeah, he is a weird dude. The pantheon of weird fat guys.
Yes, exactly. He is one of the best weird fat guys.
He's like the king.
He has a lot of weird ideas about what a record should sound like.
Yes, he does.
You can kind of hear that right away with the first song, Cabin Man.
Cabin Man is like a very life-affirming song.
It is, yeah.
It is, it's about suicide, and then it's about, like, deciding to live.
Yep.
And I really like that. I appreciate that a lot.
An unusually cheery sentiment from the
Cows. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it is a good song. It's a spoken word piece. Kind of the way it starts, I don't know, the music comes in very like faintly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain point in the song where it reaches this emotional breakthrough.
Yeah.
And the music all of a sudden like crashes in perfect clarity.
Yes.
And you've already turned the volume on your iPod up loud because the volume of the song is very quiet. And then when it gets to that point, it suddenly becomes very loud and screams in your ear. And
yeah, it's great.
You are upset at it if you aren't expecting it.
Yep.
So that's something to watch out for. Mm-hmm. But it is a good song, and like the lyrics are good and witty and, as you said, life-affirming.
Yeah, I would say probably his best lyrics.
Okay. I do like that bit. I'm no entomologist. Another one of my many faults.
Yep.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
So, good song. The rest of this album, I gotta say I like this album quite a bit. It's definitely not like the other Cows albums. The guitar tone is very strange. Like, it's this kind of spindly, like, trebly, much of the time not distorted. Not all the time, but much of the time. And lots of, like, bendy notes going on. So it's different, and the songs are weird. It's kind of an experimental album, I guess you could say. But I think there's lots of good stuff on here, particularly the two songs that come after Cabin Man. Finished Again.
Finished Again is really good. Yeah. I did speak somewhat incorrectly when I said I only like Cabin Man.
Well, I hope you've learned from this experience.
Because I do like the Finished Again and No, I'm Not Coming Out.
Yeah, and No, I'm Not Coming Out. What I really love, one of the weird sort of quirks of the production is the way that there's this second guitar track that comes in, like, at certain just random points. Well, not random, but just at certain unexpected points in the song.
Yeah.
And it very much sounds like it was, like, cut and pasted in, like, a computer program in. And it's kind of a neat effect. Like, it's a blatantly artificial sounding effect, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And I like that. Do you know what I'm talking about? That, like,
yes.
Guitar.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And that's cool. A lot of these others, they're a little more abstract, I guess. There's a lot of bugle playing on these later songs.
Yes, a lot of it.
Which is cool. And I don't know, like, it's... I think it's a good album for them to end on, because it shows they could do something a little different. I think the quality of the songs is high throughout. I think it's a really good album. It's one I probably need to listen to more, and I probably will.
Yeah, I probably should listen to it more.
Yeah, I think you would grow to like it if you listen to it more. It's just not noisy enough, you know? Which is maybe what we want from Cows and aren't getting from this album.
Yeah, I mean, I've listened to it plenty, but, you know, things grow on you.
Sure. And that's pretty much all I have to say about the Cows.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else that we didn't talk about that you want to bring up?
Well, they're really good, you guys.
I think we brought that up already.
They're really... No, but, like, they are really good.
They are really good.
They need to get their due. Really good.
And again, like, I know I kind of dismissed Orphan's Tragedy and Horn, but, like, I do think they are essentially good albums. Just memorable.
They have no bad albums.
They don't have any bad albums. So if you want to listen to the Cows, just dive in, man.
Yeah.
If you really like the sound of, like, the really noisy shit, I would recommend Defeat and Impudent Snobs.
Yep.
If you want something a little more polished and sort of traditionally punk rock ass-kicking kind of stuff, like Cunning Stunts would be your way to go, I think. But really, you can't lose.
Nope. You can't. You will not lose. Because they're the best. Fuck you doing? They're so good. If you like our podcast, you will like the Cows.
Yes, if you like our podcast, this podcast is important.
Yes.
You will like the Cows.
Yes, you will.
That's the name of our podcast.
Yep.
Are we officially changing that? This podcast is important. I'm kind of in favor of this, I have to say.
We'll have a side podcast about things other than music.
And call it This Podcast is Important.
Yeah.
What other things could we talk about?
All
right, let's give them a little sample. We're giving you a sneak preview of our side podcast. This podcast is important.
Yep.
So, Caroline.
Yeah, buddy.
How's it going?
How you think it's going? I'm doing great.
What you been up to today?
Took my dad to the doctor.
Yeah, is he doing all right?
Oh, yeah, he's doing really good. This lady pulled scabs off of his leg and he screamed. That was pretty funny.
Oh, God.
No, but he's doing fine. It just hurt.
Did you have anything good to eat today?
Yes, I had had a cheese omelet today.
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. What did you have?
I had an egg and cheese omelet.
Yeah? Did you make it yourself?
No, I got it at a restaurant.
Oh, what restaurant?
A restaurant by my house.
Well, sounds good.
It was very good. What did you do today? Other than go to work.
I went to work. I got a 100% audit score on my work for the third week in a row today.
Yo!
Really good at my job. They don't deserve me, to be honest.
They really don't. You're amazing.
And that's a sneak preview of this podcast is important.
Yep, it's us talking about our lives.
It's going to be riveting shit. Highly recommend it. When that drops, we'll let everyone know.
Yep.
But until then, I think we're on our way out.
Yep, we will be back next week with another band that could be your life.
That is important.
Yes.
We don't know what that band is yet.
No, but we'll figure it out.
Because a certain special guest I was talking to has stopped communicating with me. So
what'd you do?
Then he's just, I think he has a life. So like,
yeah,
that's what's happening there.
He's got a wife and shit.
Yeah.
He's a really responsible person.
Fuck that asshole.
I know.
But yeah, we'll have something good. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
It's something you're going to want to hear.
Oh yeah.
I promise you that.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Bye.